father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself will not be my disciple. I always know when I come across this reading, every 3 years this reading comes up in the Gospel of Luke, and I always say to myself, wait, like why would Jesus be using this phrase? And it turns out it's an expression. It's a just a turn of a phrase that isn't meant to be taken exactly literally. Jesus is not advocating for hatred, especially when he says the most important commandment, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. But it is a phrase that literally means to turn aside. And if we're not familiar with that expression, you can misunderstand it. Sure, even in our own language and customs and culture, we have our own turns of phrases that can sound a little weird if they're taken literally. Just for example, you have nothing to do and somebody says, oh, what are you doing right now? Oh, I'm just killing time. Wait, killing? I remember I was 9 years ago, I was speaking with a Japanese woman, and she asked me if I wanted to do something. And I used a phrase that I use all the time, but you know, someone who's not a native speaker, it caught her off guard. She said, do you want to do this? I said, why not? She said, oh, you mean you don't want to? And I can see why you would get that confused. Oh, yes, I do want to do this. But the phrase that Jesus was using there, this turn of speech, expression means to turn away from something. So it wasn't advocating to engage our family members and our life itself, but to turn away from them. Because if you turn away or turn aside from one thing, you are turning towards something else. If I am in the grocery store and I turn away from a aisle that is full of candy, sweets, and pretzels, because I never go down those aisles, I can turn towards the aisle that is full of fruits and vegetables and all that good stuff. Turning away and turning towards. And so, but even still, there's a need to unpack what is going on here. Turning away and turning towards. Now, it's not that we are supposed to turn away from our families, that it can be useful to turn away from familiar patterns. We also turn away from sin so that we can embrace God. We turn away from selfishness and embrace community and love of others. And this is a big part of the Christian life. Jesus said right from the beginning, repent, which also means to turn away. Repent literally means when I face it this way, when you face this way. I don't always want you to do that because I've got the facts down. So here we go, I'm turning back. But why do we turn away from familiar patterns? Why would Jesus use this language of father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even life itself? Because these are human beings. Human beings made in the image of God. Men to love. And at the same time, because of the nature of our world, getting together with particularly those who we are closest with, we can fall into predictable patterns. I know every time I go to visit my family, we can make a pretense of planning what we're going to do, but it is always the same. Oh, who's going to bring us to the next salad? You know, who's going to bring us to the next salad? It just works that way all the time. And while those things can give us a sense of stability and predictability, it can also be useful to break those patterns, particularly with the important things, so that we can return and raise God's ways. You know, there was a psychologist, psychiatrist named Murray Bowen many years ago, kind of started to postulate how a family together, you know, form an emotional system of itself. Jesus gives us many things we can turn aside in order to embrace something else. Particularly when I look at something like the Sermon on the Mount or in the Gospel of Luke, the Sermon on the Plain. For example, blessed are the poor. There's another turn of phrase. Blessed really means the life well worth living. We might say, well, what might that mean? What qualities amongst the poor we look at and say this is something where we're living life well? Perhaps looking out for one another because we have to. Perhaps minimizing waste and being economical in the resources that we do have. All of these are good things, good ways of living that we can embrace and do well. Jesus said to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Just an idea of looking at the world as it is, thinking about the world as it could be, as God promised that it would be, and saying to ourselves, the world can be more, the world can be better. Now, not as it is, not in familiar patterns, but as something that God has always intended, something that is the vision and the dream of God. Sometimes when we do these things, it goes against the grain of our society, our culture, and those closest around us. And there can be some short-term tension. That short-term tension is often mitigated by long-term gains, which are well worth it. And Jesus was always playing a long game. Another thing he asks us to do is to turn away from sin to embrace God. Notice what he was saying to the crowds that were following them. If anyone wants to be my disciple, and then he's calling out this cost of discipleship. You know, turning aside from one thing, turning aside from something else. He has some discussion on wealth and possessions, saying this is not the be-all and end-all of our existence, of our experience. He's saying that what you see right now is not the ultimate. The kingdom of God is the ultimate reality, and we need to embrace that. All of these involve big changes. One thing I've noticed lately is I've been working on a project you may have seen on our social media pages, so creating these videos of trying to explain the catechism in our prayer book. And I created this alter ego where I put on an athletic jersey, wear my cap backwards, ask some very silly questions. We're doing this phrase of baptism, and my alter ego is very concerned because infants are baptized and babies can't talk. How are they supposed to answer all these questions? Which led to a discussion of parents and godparents and raising a child on a table. One of the things that really caught me in this is what our prayer book teaches us is absolutely essential for baptism. And what are those minimum requirements for somebody to be baptized? And those requirements are to renounce Satan, repent of our sins, those two kind of go together, don't they? And to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. began to be dependent on one another. Though they weren't doing their regular jobs, they weren't going back to their homes, so where they had food and clothing and what have you. But somehow they made it work. They were able to share what they had with one another. They were able to share what they had, and everyone seemed to have enough. One of the greatest miracles along this, the great crowds were following him. One day, there's 5,000 people there. Jesus said, "We're going to feed all these people." Now, can you imagine feeding 5,000 people? That's a big undertaking. But a few people had some stuff. A few people had a loaf of bread. A few people had some fish. And he took those loaves, he blessed them, multiplied them, shared with everyone. Everyone had enough. Now, it didn't matter that this person brought a box lunch, this person didn't. Now, everybody had what they needed. In the book of Acts, they did something similar. The early church was really kind of the first church that was in Jerusalem. And we're told that all the disciples sold all of their possessions and laid them at the disciples' feet. You know, and they distributed them to anybody who had need. And I just find that very interesting because, you know, we certainly don't live that way nowadays. Of course, if anybody wanted to, come see me after the service. I'm not sure we can figure that out. You know, they might think, well, it's one act. That's kind of interesting. I sold what I had, gave it away. I'm poor. What am I supposed to do here? But it's something that they were continually doing. It's just how they lived their lives. You know, they would earn, they would take what they needed, their farms would produce, their trade would produce, and then they would share with everybody. They had, in a sense, rooted out their own selfishness and were living in this great community. And it was like just about every day was a church potluck. Those are really nice. You know, in today's day and age, we may not live